Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Pat Prescott with This Lady Loves Sports. Today's guest is brand new Hall of Fame boxer, Sugar Shane Mosley.
Let's go!
Welcome to This Lady Loves Sports podcast with Pat Prescott. Sports. She knows it all and is here to talk about it. So get ready to hear sports talk in a way that you've never heard before. It's This Lady Loves Sports podcast. And here's your host, Pat Prescott.
This is Pat Prescott, and I am here in our studios with four-time world champion Sugar Shane Mosley, who has just been inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame. That's the biggest honor you can have in a career.
It is.
That's pretty amazing. Welcome, Sugar. It's good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
You must be pretty excited. I know the ceremony just happened. You know, now your name is up there in the pantheon of some of the greats.
Yeah.
What does it mean to you to be in the Hall of Fame?
It's a great feeling to be, you know, into the Nevada Hall of Fame, and also be a living legend, because a lot of people, you know me as a legend already. And, you know, I was inducted just a year after I retired. So I guess I'm in the class of 2018 now.
Yeah. You tried to retire a few times, but a couple times.
I didn't take.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, there were this time, you know, I suffered a bad injury, actually a malpractice, and this doctor Gary Bazina burnt my arm, and I got a little nerve damage, so I was kind of forced to retire this time. But yeah, I mean, I think I could have went a couple more years, but you know, things happen, so maybe it was for the better.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the career that led you to this incredible honor. And I would say a lot of it really started with your dad, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. My father, you know, I went to the gym with my mother. Actually told my father, take your son to the gym with you because he's burning up too much energy. He needs to burn energy up. He has too much energy. And so my father took me to the gym. I think I was 8 years old. And it was, the rest is history, you know.
And he's been with you for the whole ride,
for the whole ride. My father is a great, great man, great person, and he's been training me ever since I was a young boy.
And now you get a chance to turn around and do the same thing with Junior, right?
Yeah. I've been training him as well. I teach him and show him different things, and he's doing a great job.
How's he been making out? What's going on with his career now?
He's going to be fighting on the Contender.
That's great.
And there's not too much I can say about that, but that he's on the Contender and watches on Epics. So, you know, it should be a pretty good season of the Contender.
Yeah. Well, on this podcast, we like to kind of explore people's sports love stories. That you're someone who has a sports career, but I'm sure before you did, you were a sports fan. Tell me a little bit about your earliest experiences with sports and what made you fall in love with it.
Well, I was always a sports type of kid anyway, and it didn't matter what sport it was, whether it was basketball, football, baseball, tetherball, you know, volleyball, whatever it was, I was the type of kid that wanted to win. But boxing, when I went to boxing, I fell in love with it because it was a one-on-one type of sport. And I believed as a young kid that nobody can beat me, especially my size, one-on-one. So boxing is the sport for me. And I chose it then. I think when I was 10 years old, I told my parents, I said, you know what, I'm going to be the world champion. I'm going to be great. And I stuck with it, and here I am.
And you know what? Saying that out loud, speaking that has a lot to do with it, doesn't it? With actually making those things happen.
Definitely, yeah. Speak out loud and, you know, you put the energy in the air and it happens. And you have to really believe it, too. And you have to do the work to make it happen. So I did all the work. I knew what to do, how to work hard to make it happen, and it happened.
And as a young kid, who was it that you admired the most, and what did you like about them?
Well, as a boxer, as a young kid when I was 10 years old, I admired Sugar Ray Leonard. He was one of my the fighters that I admired and I watched at the time. He was world champions fighting Roberto Duran and Tommy Hearns and these type of guys at that time. And I was like, wow, you know, I'm going to be a world champion like him. And, you know, a lot of the people in the gym recognized me as being a great boxer. And they said, I look like Sugar Ray Leonard. And they started calling me Sugar Shane when I was like 10 years old, Sugar Shane Mosley. And that's how the name came about when I was like 10 years old. And that's when I knew that, yeah, I'm be a world champion. And, you know, ironically, I know Sugar Ray Leonard very well, his son, and I met Sugar Ray Robinson as well before he passed away, and his wife. So, you know, I'm in the Sugar family.
Now, take us back. Do you remember your very first fight? Take us back to what that was like, you know, how you felt that day, and the results were good, but...
Yeah. My very first fight, amateur fight, I mean, I was so nervous. My stomach was just going crazy, and I remember it was in Pomona at the boxing gym where I trained at, and there was a lot of world champions that actually boxed there. You know, it was Richie Sandoval, Mike Weaver was one of the boxers there, and Albert Davila, you know. So there was a lot of fighters there, and I remember going up, and back then you could smoke inside the boxing, I guess it was like a arena or whatever, but it wasn't really an arena, it was the boxing. Everybody went upstairs and did the fights upstairs. So downstairs was the training area, and upstairs was actually the boxing event area, if you will.
Huge cloud of smoke, huh?
Just a huge cloud of smoke, you know. And that was before, you know, smoking was not really, smoking cigarettes was cool back then. Well, anyway, went upstairs and seen the crowd and, you know, my first fight, and I was really nervous. I was like, oh, am I going to do good? And what's going to happen? And, you know, I won. I won really good. And even all the coaches and my father, everybody was so happy, you know, with my performance. And I knew then, yeah, this was for me.
I guess when you start out well like that, too, you kind of fall in love with winning.
Yeah,
and you want that to be the thing that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I was that kid that had to win anyway. Even when I played like chess or checkers with my sister, or cards with my older sisters, and they'll win, I would keep playing until I won. If I lose at a video game or something like that we had, I would play all night until I beat all the stages of the video game. So I was just that kid that really wanted to win, and the kids at school, when I played basketball or kickball or whatever it was, they wanted me on their team because they knew that I was coming to win all the time. It didn't matter what it was. I'm trying to win.
You got to have that attitude to make something happen. I mean, I think that's the difference between the winners and people that are just participating.
You know, I think so. I think it's learning how to win, knowing how to win. And a lot of people, some people don't really know how to win. It doesn't matter what sport it is, just knowing how to win. I think that you have, like, let's say, you know, Magic Johnson or you have Jordan and Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and certain players, they just know how to win, you know.
Yeah, and insist on it.
And insist on
really?
It. Really? Yeah.
You know, that group that you just named, for sure. That's how they all feel about it.
Exactly.
Well, you... In the course of a history-making career like yours, you really get to have a number of people who like come up with you and who are your opponents so often. Mm. I mean, Oscar De La Hoya comes to mind. You know, somebody like that. There was a fierce opponent of yours. I'm so interested in the relationship and how that changes after you retire. I mean, did you used to like hate each other?
No, I didn't hate any of the fights that I fought. I really didn't. It was just, it was something like it was competition. I was just competitive. You know, it wasn't a hate type of thing with any of them. I knew they were trying to win, I'm trying to win, but I just felt that I was a better man. I'm like Superman, and you can't beat me. And that was just stuck in my mind. I believed it.
But your careers become kind of meshed together, and I would imagine that those people are some of the most important people in your career, those opponents. And
yes.
and that the bond that seems to develop, you know, when you're in the trenches like that, mano a mano.
Well, you know, like a lot of the fighters like Oscar I grew up with, is even when we were younger, I fought him when we were younger. He was East LA, I was Pomona, so I think I fought him when I was 12, 13. And I beat him then. like Vernon Forrest, I fought him as amateur, and then he beat me as professional as well. He beat me as amateur and professional. Winky Wright, I know I never fought him as amateur, but all these fighters we grew up with in the Olympic, on the Olympic team and around. So we travel together in different countries. You know, some fighters I didn't fight, some fighters I did fight. Stevie Johnson is another fighter that I fought a couple of times. He was world champion in the lightweight division. But we traveled from Colorado Springs to, let's say, Russia or to Poland or to Ireland or to Italy or whatever. So we all got a chance to be with each other. And everybody from different states of the United States, we all came together. And we were on the same team. We're like brothers.
And who understands better than somebody who is gone through the same thing as you? It's a real brotherhood, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're going through the same struggle as and we all know, we both, or everybody knows, is how hard it is. It's not, yeah. It's not easy. You can't just walk into it and just become, you know, a world champion, become one of the greats. You know, you have to really, really work hard. I mean, Chris Bird's another one I didn't name. You know, he was a middleweight silver medalist in 1992, and he fought heavyweight when he turned pro. So another guy. I mean, we all had this brotherhood connection, and we all know what it takes to be that type of fighter. That, you know, that everybody wants to see.
Yeah, it's a brotherhood, you know, and sometimes a sisterhood, too. I know Layla Ali went in to the Hall of Fame with you, too.
Yeah, she's going into the Hall of Fame as well. Oh, yeah, she went to the Hall of Fame as well. And, she's a great fighter, and she knows what it's like to be a real fighter. But she knows how to be a lady as well.
Oh, no, she's got the whole thing working, and certainly the pedigree hurt a bit.
Muhammad Ali, yeah, her father.
Yeah, and she learned a great deal from him. I know
that's
the truth. You know, you talked about the retirement, and I mentioned, you know, that it was a couple of times. Retiring is not an easy thing to do, is it, for somebody who performs at the highest level in something they love?
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing to do, because you always believe that you can overcome, you can win the next fight and win the next fight. And sometimes your mind tells you can do one thing and you believe it, but then your body doesn't do the things that your mind wants it to do. Even now, you know, before my injury, I could get in the ring with world champions and do really, really good with them. You know, like probably beat some of these current world champions today. Mm-hmm. But I noticed that as far as the brain is concerned, you gotta watch out for your later in life. And, you know, some of these fighters you see at the Hall of Fame, they're not speaking well.
Exactly.
They're not thinking well. And you have to be careful for that, too, the longevity of your own life.
You fought a long time yourself. Do you ever feel like maybe it was too long? I mean, do you worry about that at all with everything we're learning now about concussions and the effects that they can have on you later?
I don't feel that I went that far where I was going to get concussions and stuff like that. I think that took very good with my body. A lot of fighters, you know, after fights, they will do a lot of hard partying, and even before the matches, you know, they're drinking beer and doing all kind of stuff that they shouldn't be doing. They get in the ring.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
And they fight, and their brain is hit against their skull, and messing them up for long term. They don't think about that because they believe that they're the best.
Do you think that the boxing commission needs to change anything to try to prevent this stuff from happening? I mean, it's kind of hard.
I don't know what the boxing commission can actually do for that situation. They're trying to monitor the way they make weight and make sure that they make weight properly and that they're actually training and stuff like that for fights the way they're supposed to. But it's kind of hard when you get somebody that's been boxing up for so long and they kind of know their bodies and they say, well, I know how to get down and weight and get back up. And it's hard to regulate that.
So. Yeah, but I would imagine that it is something that as a fighter, you know, it's something you struggle with throughout your career. I mean, you look at it, you retired twice, right, before you really retired, or was it once or twice?
Yeah, I retired maybe.
What made you retire the first time?
Well, the first time I retired, I had I think after I fought Manny Pacquiao, maybe I popped my Achilles. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to box again. The Achilles healed okay. And then I was in the gym. I was working. I was doing really, really good with the different fighters and different people, like world-class fighters. So I'm like, oh, I can still fight. You know, I can still do it.
And I'm sure you missed it, too.
And I missed it, too. But it wasn't because I had any head trauma or anything like that. It was just because I felt that I couldn't move like I used to. And maybe that might hinder me. Maybe I might get hit more. I don't know. But it didn't turn out that way. So I just continued to fight. I seen Bernard Hopkins. He was doing it too. He was 50, 51 years old. And, you know, I see him working out. And I know that I felt that, you know, my technique and my speed and power and stuff is better than any of those guys out there. And I would get in the ring with these guys and work with them just to make sure it's in, and it was.
Yeah, you know? Who do you like that you see out there fighting now?
Well, I mean, I like both the fight that's going to happen against Canelo Alvarez and Triple G. That's going to be a good fight. And I also like I like Errol Spence. I think that he's a little bit probably too big for Mikey Garcia. Mike Garcia is a really good fighter as well. I like Lomachenko. I like a lot of fighters. I mean, Sean Porter is a really good fighter, a friend of mine, and a good fighter as well. It's going to be a great fight with him and Danny Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the list goes on. Deontay Wilder, he's doing really good in the heavyweight division, and that's going to be a good fight with him and the other heavyweight that's over in England. That's going to be a really good fight.
And you're living in Vegas, right?
I live in Vegas a little bit, but I live both ways. I live out here as well.
So you're still a Southern California boy.
Yeah, I'm both places.
Never get that out of your system. But do you go to the fights often in Vegas?
When I'm in Vegas, I will go. I will go to the fights and I will, you know, check them out and support, you know, the fighters and all my friends and stuff like that. And it's pretty much a no-brainer. I can get in, you know, I walk in.
Cool.
Everybody knows who I am and they're like, oh, yeah, come on in, Mr. Mosley, you know, you can come in. So
we know with you, and I think one of the interesting things about you is not only does everybody know who you are, mm-hmm. but you are somebody who, you know, you made a living beating people up. But you are one of the most likable figures, not only in boxing, but I think in sports in general. Everybody likes you. What is that? How does that make you feel? You're aware of that, right?
That makes me feel
you're very
good.
Likeable.
I mean, I would say mostly everybody would probably like me, like my personality. I just try to be.
Even some of the people you knocked out like you.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not meaning, but it was nothing personal. You know, it was just like I said, it's competitious, a winning spirit. I want to win. I want to be the best.
I think part of it too is just your basic attitude about life and success, and I know that you got 5 tips for success, and I would love for you to talk about them and how they have worked in your life.
Oh boy! Well, I mean, the tips that I would say is that believe in yourself. You know, believe in yourself. Believe what you can do.
And I guess it helps to have somebody, have people around you that believe in you too. Like having your dad right there pushing you and believing in you helps that.
It does help, but sometimes you don't have anybody around. You have to really depend on yourself to believe, because you have, although you're your father, then you have another person over here that really doesn't believe in you and will say things to you that, you know, because they can't do it. They put that energy or whatever
on
you.
The
haters. Yeah, it's haters, but they put the energy on you because they don't believe that they can do it. Maybe they're not even really haters. They just don't believe because they just don't believe. And you can't have that type of energy around you. You, if you're trying to accomplish something that's really, really high. So, I definitely believe in yourself and believe in what you can do. You know, just and be humble and I didn't never felt, I guess I do, I don't know how to explain that, but I do feel that I can achieve and I'm better, but I don't feel like I feel that everybody has the same chance or they have the same ability to do things you can do. They just have to believe. And that's, I come back to that, you know, it's all about believing in yourself and what you can do, whatever it is, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Win and defeat your biggest opponent in life, you. And we do get in our own ways, don't we?
Yeah, and then another thing is getting in your own way. Never, and I remember, a couple of my amateur fights that I didn't do as well as I thought I should have done. And it felt that it's because I wasn't believing it as hard as I should have, and I got in my way. And I would just throw a jab or 1-2 or right hand, move all the way, just doing it just enough instead of giving it all, just 100%. And a lot of times we get in our way, not just from that and from life experiences. There's always some kind of life challenge that gets in your way from whatever you're trying to achieve or accomplish. And you fall, and I've seen a lot of people fall short from their destiny and getting into whatever they want to get into because life, whatever it may be, got in their way. And then they just say, oh, I can't do it. And they just give up and let it happen, whatever, and then go a different direction. So
yeah, you don't drown when you fall in the water. You drown when you don't get up.
You drown when you don't swim. Yeah, you swim.
There's that too. I know it's been an incredible career with so many highlights. You know, 61 fights, 49 wins, only 10 losses. That's crazy when you think about it. What are those losses? What does it feel like to lose?
Well, it feels it's. You feel really bad and down because you didn't succeed. And a lot of the losses that I had were probably toward the end of my career. And that's probably, you know, I had different injuries, Achilles, a pulled groin, and things were happening. And that's probably one of the reasons why I was like, you know what, maybe I should retire. And then they healed up, and then I was doing good again, and I was like, no, I'm not ready to retire. I can still fight. You know, I still can do it. Things, the losses, they can teach you how to become better. I mean, when I lost to Vernon Forrest for the first time, I said to myself, I did something wrong. Something I have to improve on whatever I did. It was something I did wrong. I know what was wrong. I wasn't focusing. I wasn't mentally there. And that's why I lost, but, you know, and then I went back and fought again, and I did a whole lot better. I think George Foreman said, I thought you won the second fight, but they still gave to the other opponent. But, you know, it is what it is.
How did you deal with that personally, like losing? You know, like I had a friend who played in the NFL, and, you know, and his wife and I were really good friends, and she talked about not only the healing thing, how like all week, you know, they're working on healing up the injuries from the Sunday's game, but just the the way you feel. How does it make you feel? And feel when you lose. I mean, I think we all lose in life enough to experience that feeling. Yeah, but getting yourself out of it, I think, is really important. Was that a process for you that you can recall? Things that you would do to help yourself move on from that?
I've always, and that's why I liked one-on-one competition, because I always felt that it was not what the person did to win, it's what I didn't do to prevent him from winning. So what didn't I do? What happened? What was my problem? Not what he did. What didn't I do to prevent that win or knock out or whatever it was? And I just keep going. I go over that and I research that and go with them myself. So it's not really what he did. It's really what I didn't do.
Exactly. And that gets that, and that way you take the power back, because then it becomes something you can do something about.
I can do something about it.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I know you've had a lot of incredible high points in your career. One of the low points, 2002, the Balco scandal. Mm. I remember when that happened. I remember the way you handled it. I just thought was really grown up and mature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you look back on that whole thing, are you pretty happy with how things turned out and with how you dealt with it?
Well, I'm happy by the way I dealt with it, and you know how my team came together and kind of smoothed things out. But it was I wasn't happy by it going down, because I know that at the time when it happened, I really wasn't even thinking about going to that place or going over there. And then it was like, no, go, you know, this is a great guy. And it was kind of coerced into going over there. And I'm like, I don't really want to. And then all of a sudden this comes out, it happens. And, you know, he's some big, you know, some big guy that sells all, steroid guy that sells everybody. And I just, it wasn't good at all. I felt really horrible about the whole thing.
Yeah, and I think it's something that permeates sports. I mean, we've seen it all over, and to me, I kind of always watch how people deal with it. You can tell who's grown, you know, who's mature, and it's a thing, but it's a thing that has really just affected kind of everybody in sports. Yeah. Now, in the couple of minutes that we have left, I know you being a Southern California boy, let's talk a little bit about who you like in basketball. Mm. You got to be a Laker fan. You're a Laker fan, aren't you?
I've always been a Laker fan, from day one. Yeah.
I mean, and you don't have to really be from L.A. to be a Laker fan. That's obviously been proven. But any thoughts about what's going on with the new-look Lakers?
Well, I like till LeBron came down and he's joined the Lakers.
Now, do you know him? Do you know LeBron?
I think I might have seen him a couple of times. I haven't really met him yet or talked with him. Uh-huh. But he's doing a lot of great things in the community. He's a great guy, and I'm happy that he chose to come to the Lakers and represent the LA Lakers.
It's pretty amazing when you think about the weight that he carries with him, that he can, everywhere he goes, that people want to go there and play with him and all of that. You know, that's but he is, I don't see how you can find real fault in LeBron James. People seem to try, though, don't they?
They try. they try to find fault. They would have to find some kind of dirt somewhere. But he's just a great guy. You know, he's a great human being, and I think he's going to do L.A. very proud, you know?
Yeah, hey, look, if he plays like he played last year, if he balls out like that, I tell you what, it's exciting, and we don't care if he never retires, if that's going to be happening. Though we know, as Charles Barkley says, Father Time is undefeated.
Father Time is undefeated. Definitely.
For real.
Definitely undefeated.
And what are you going to do with the rest of your life?
You got
a great family. I know you love your family. That you get the chance to actually spend some time with them now, don't you?
Yeah, I'm gonna spend some time with my queen and my kids and everybody. And we're remodeling houses, and we have different things going on in our lives. So it's gonna be fun, relaxing.
Well, I tell you what, congratulations on an honor, well-deserved. Congratulations on being just a really cool guy, man. You know, somebody who not only was good at what they did, but just as good at being a good person.
Thank you.
Like that about you.
Thank you.
Sugar Shane Mosley, Hall of Famer. We can say that now. In perpetuity. This lady loves sports, and so does this guy, Sugar Shane.
Thank you.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.